1 year ago, Vice President J.D. Vance delivered a barn burner of a speech at the annual Munich Security Conference, and not in a good way from Europe's perspective. He accused European leaders of suppressing free speech and being lax on migration. This year, it's Secretary of State Marco Rubio who will speak at Munich. And while firmly within the America First ethos of the Trump administration, his message is expected to be more, well, diplomatic. Cooperation on matters of common concern, including Ukraine and China, is forecast as the dominant theme. Anna Mulrein-Groby previews Munich after attending a gathering in Brussels of top NATO defense officials. It's Friday, February 13th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Border czar Tom Homan announced an end to the federal immigration crackdown in Minnesota, saying the operation there achieved the successful results it sought. More than 4,000 people were reportedly arrested as part of the campaign, and two U.S. citizens were fatally shot by federal agents, prompting nationwide backlash. Mr. Homan said a small footprint of officials will remain to conclude the operation. The Pentagon is preparing to send a second aircraft carrier strike group to the Middle East, the Wall Street Journal reports. The United States has recently ramped up its military presence in the region, putting pressure on Iran to make a deal regarding its nuclear program. Despite high tensions, both Tehran and Washington had stressed their preference for diplomatic talks over military action. Also, classes remain suspended at Senegal's largest university after a student died this week during demonstrations over unpaid government financial aid stipends. Protests at Cheikhon Diop University in Dakar began in December, underscoring wider frustrations among Senegalese youth with the unfulfilled promises of the reformist government they brought to office 2 years ago. Some 75% of Senegal's population is under the age of 35. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. As U.S. and European security officials gather for key meetings this week, leaders are taking steps to navigate shifts in the traditional transatlantic alliance. Anna Mulrein-Groby reports from Brussels for The Monitor. President Donald Trump and his team held a clean, beautiful coal event this week and are rescinding a rule that enables the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases. But the moves come as renewable energy sources, including solar, are increasingly in demand. Victoria Hoffman reports for The Monitor. Portuguese voters rejected the far-right presidential candidate in February, showing the potential limits of Donald Trump's brand of far-right populism in Europe. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. IOC rules prohibit athletes from engaging in messaging on the field of play, in the Olympic Village, or during medal ceremonies. Still, a Ukrainian Olympian was determined to compete, honoring those who had lost their lives at home. Mark Sappenfield reports from Milan for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a new climate norm: less carbon, continued growth. Despite vastly different populations and governing systems, the Eastern European nation of Romania and Asian behemoth China share something in common. Both have had a history of extensive industrial pollution. And more recently, both countries have managed to grow their economies while substantially reducing carbon emissions. According to new data from 2025, China's carbon intensity, emissions divided by gross domestic product, have fallen by 12% over the past 5 years. However, the country remains the world's biggest carbon emitter, with a nearly 33% share, and its emissions reduction rate lags far behind that of the West. Romania, on the other hand, has decoupled economic growth from pollution faster than anywhere else in Europe, and perhaps even the world, The Guardian reported this week. Between 1990 and 2023, its carbon intensity fell by 88%, and current emissions are 0.2% of the world total. That's a far cry from being one of Europe's most polluted countries when it emerged from communist rule in 1989, and before Romania went on to build democratic institutions and transparent governance processes. Control of corruption, political stability, and regulatory quality reduced Romania's pollution in the long run, concluded an extensive research study of the transformative years from 1996 to 2019. A second study from 2007 onward, when Romania joined the European Union, hewing to higher environmental standards, found that growing access to and use of renewable energy sources and technologies further reduced emissions. In this respect, Romania's trajectory mirrors that of other Western democracies, where private sector investment and market forces are balanced by government oversight and measures to protect citizens' safety and environmental quality. Between 2000 and 2023, per capita GDP in the United States rose by 35%, while per capita carbon dioxide emissions declined by 29%. Over the same period, Germany, the United Kingdom, and France all recorded per capita GDP increases of around 20% and emissions declines of 30 to 40%. Governing systems that enable innovation and investment have contributed to these gains, supporting what a Wall Street Journal article described as a shift from climate catastrophism to a less strident but more sustainable climate realism, focused on innovation and the commercialization of low-carbon technologies. Many countries continue to invest in fossil fuels, even as they seek to improve efficiency, explore new technologies, and reduce negative environmental impacts. The data trends confirm that these aims are not mutually exclusive. A balanced approach can yield both economic and environmental dividends for individual nations and the world. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how it's possible to rise above distress and anger to actively pray for our communities. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Ian Case, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.